You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Federal Premium Ammunition. Now, Federal has come out with a new turkey load called the Heavyweight TSS, or the Heavyweight Tungsten Super Shot. Now, this is a tungsten alloy material, and it's 18 grams per cubic centimeter density. Now, what this means is it's 22% higher than standard tungsten and 56% higher than lead. So it is a very dense material, and it has the ability to travel at high velocities and continue that velocity at longer distances. It has deadly patterning, and it also has something called flight control flex, and that is when that rear braking wad performs flawlessly through ported and standard turkey chokes. So if you want to find out more information about the Heavyweight Tungsten Super Shot, visit federalpremium.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out their podcast and their blogs. Tons of great content.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ohio Huntsman Podcast. And today's episode is a continuation or another iteration, I guess, on introducing kids to X. So if you missed the previous episodes, we did one on introducing kids to guns, introducing kids to hunting. This one is more just a general introducing kids to the outdoors, right? So making sure that they have a good experience being outside and enjoying nature with, you know, you as their parent, and how that will hopefully spur into many years to come of enjoying the outdoors with your kids. So this one is just Jacob and I. Jeff wasn't able to join us, so we talk about, you know, our experiences with our kids and what we're trying, what we're hoping for, that sort of thing. Before we get into that, I want to talk about our sponsor, Mastin's Deer Sense. So, you know, it's not deer season, so deer scents might not be top of mind, but one of the ways that we like to use scent this time of year is as you're watching antler growth. Scent is a good way to get deer to come swing by your camera and check things out, stop there for a second, sniff around, and you get a good picture of them, a good still picture. It's scent is, you know, you don't need a lot just to kind of pique their curiosity to swing by. So it can be a lot cheaper than corn or you know, baiting a camera site. So it's a good way to get pictures as you're watching antlers grow. And like I said, it's cheap. Mastin stuff is very reasonably priced. So check them out, mastinsdeersense.com, or you can go to ohiohuntsman.com/sponsors and find all of our sponsor information there. Now, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Ohio Huntsman Podcast, where three brothers, Jason, Jacob, and Jeff, discuss all things hunting in Ohio. Our goal is to be your source for accurate and reliable hunting news and conservation issues in the great state of Ohio, as well as some fun and interesting conversations along the way. This is the Ohio Huntsman Podcast.
Are you listening?
So what's up, man? We're recording in the morning this time. So I'm sitting here. We don't often record in the morning, but it's just you and I, and it's a Saturday. So I'm sitting here. I got a cup of coffee and ready to chat. It's the Saturday before Mother's Day of 2020 quarantine life. So you got that all sorted out and ready to go for Lindsay?
Not at all. luckily, my wife is very understanding. This quarantine has really, I work in healthcare, so I'm still out and about, but I can't take the kids anywhere. And that's the tough part. Like, I can't run to this, you know, I'm last minute everything. So yeah, it gets to be this week and I'm like, oh, I got to do something. But I can't go anywhere because I'm either at work or when I'm home. A lot of times Lindsay's at work, so I have the kids and I can't pack them up and take them Mother's Day shopping. So I don't know. I asked Lily what she wanted to get her mom for Mother's Day, and she told me she wants to make her a card, so we'll do that.
That's actually what we were, because so the way we've been working, we're both working from home, and so in order for us to, because when we first started, we were both just upstairs, you know, like trying to get Ella set up on something, and then we would try to work, and she's interrupting us, and so we're both like having interrupted work all day, you know. It's like you get her a snack or whatever, and then you come back and it's like, okay, where was I? What was I doing? You know?
Right.
So what we transition to is in the morning, I come down in the basement and just have uninterrupted, you know, a couple hours of uninterrupted work time, come up, have lunch together. And then in the afternoon, Amanda comes down and has uninterrupted work time. So in the afternoons, I've been telling Ella, like, you got to make your mom a card. You got to make your mom a card, you know, like when Amanda's downstairs. And I, I guess, mistakenly assumed that that was going to be enough to convince a 4-year-old to take the initiative and make her mom a card. It was not. So
right
now it's Saturday morning, and her and I were up this morning making cards for her, and we had to hide them in the basement because we heard her getting ready to come downstairs. So she's going to run out to the store today to get, I think we're just going to get like hanging baskets for our moms, and she's going to run out and get those, and we're going to finish the cards then. And then I just ordered something off Amazon, which kind of like, you know, we both are logged into the same Amazon, so we both get like shipping and delivery notifications. So it's not a real, she knows,
right.
I'm sure if she paid attention to the, you know, she knows what it is, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. That's kind of, that's the same thing for me. Lindsay planned on going to get some flowers and stuff yesterday, but then came down with a migraine. So I was supposed to be our kind of, we were both off yesterday. So that was kind of what I was planning on using as my day of getting out of the house and hitting a couple stores. But I did get out of the house and hit a couple stores, but halfway through my trip, I got the text about, I'm in bad shape, I got a migraine. So I had to rush home. So she still doesn't have anything for Mother's Day. I don't know. We'll figure something out though. See, it's a hard time for me because Mother's Day and then my anniversary is the 18th. So I got to do it all at once, and it not being able to do anything makes it hard.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's going to be our new normal. Unfortunately, you just got to get used to it.
Yeah.
But
so I guess that kind of a little bit stems us into the conversation with, you know, around like kids and sort of figuring things out with kids. We've kind of been on this introducing kick, right? We did an introducing new shooters episode, you know, introducing youth or adults even to shooting and firearms and stuff. We did, what was the other one we did? I'm blanking now. Hunting,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, because you and I have young kids that we're, you know, hoping will want to hunt with us, and have kind of gone on, you know, Lily was with you when you shot a deer with your bow, and I've taken Ella on a quote unquote deer hunt, right? We sat in the blind and ate snacks and whispered to each other, and it was all great fun.
Right.
But so this one, we were kind of thinking, like, just in general, introducing kids to the outdoors and like learning to love being outside and enjoying the outdoors and appreciating everything it has to offer. So, because right, that's kind of like the core, the base, right? That's like the base level that you need before you know, I mean, I guess shooting, you can only shoot on sunny, nice days and not, you know, I mean, you can even shoot inside, right? You can go to a range and shoot inside.
Right.
But, you know, hunting happens outside. So I think first you need to sort of love and appreciate the outdoors and being outside to then, you know, go to that next step of hunting. And I guess for me too, the thing is, if Ella decides she doesn't want to hunt, that's fine, right? I'm not going to force her, but I hope that at the very least she will enjoy being outside as she gets older, and, you know, we can go camping or hiking and, you know, we can do those sorts of things outside together, just because I enjoy being outside.
Right. Yeah. And I think, like you said, I mean, it's the kind of core, it's the center. It's hard to convince or have a passion for hunting without an underlying passion for the outdoors. Because like you said, it occurs in the outdoors. It occurs in the weather. Usually right. Hunting seasons are not the best weather days of the year. You know, it's the fall. It gets to be cold and, you know, snow, rain, wind. That's just when deer season is. You know, in turkey season, I mean, maybe it's just our luck, but it seems like it always rains when we're turkey hunting.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, you have to have some sort of, and if, you know, depending on where you hunt too, you know, if you're hunting public land in a not densely populated area, you know, it isn't uncommon to go out in the woods and not see deer or not see whatever game you're chasing.
Yeah.
So if you don't have some enjoyment or passion for just being in the outdoors and getting enjoyment out of that, you're not going to enjoy hunting.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's in today's world, it's kind of almost, I don't want to say it's public versus private, because it's not like that. There's private land that also is very challenging and low deer numbers. And, but hunting over a bait pile where 15 deer come in every night and you're just waiting for the one is a totally different experience than hiking in on public land, finding a natural funnel. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a different hunting, not that one's better than the other. I participate in both. You know, I have property that's overrun with does, and pretty much any night I could go shoot one.
Right.
I choose, you know, but I also choose to go hunt down at our cabin, where it's much more challenging. You don't, you know, you can't just sit over a pile of corn and take your pick. That's just it. The deer densities are different down there. The terrain's different down there. So it's just different. You know, I do both and I enjoy both for different reasons. You know, introducing my daughter to hunting, sitting over a pile of corn is much more enjoyable to her because we're going to see deer, which is why we're there. As she gets older and more patient and able to, you know, participate in kind of the struggle that we all know and enjoy, you know, I'll take her down to the cabin and she'll experience that, where it's, we're going to go sit in the woods all day and we're probably not going to see a deer, but that's okay. you know, so it's, I think you have to have that underlying passion and enjoyment, just being outside, listening to the birds, watching the squirrels, chipmunks, whatever, you know, watching other critters work their way through the woods that aren't target species or game species, you know, to watch a groundhog come by your stand and do what it does. You have to enjoy watching that because that might be all you see.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you touched on something kind of important there, is like, you know, including her in the struggle, right? I think the outdoors can put us in scenarios or situations where you struggle. In the moment, it kind of sucks. It's cold, you're wet, it's hot, there's bugs, there, you know, whatever. It can put you in situations like that. But I think those type of situations are formative, if you will. Like, it's important to have some of those. Like, and I can't think of specific examples, but I just remember, you know, being outside as a kid, and like, you know, your toes are froze and it's, you know, you're kind of wet, and you know, you went in a creek up over your boots, or you know, your boots leaked, or you know, and it just like, it sucks, but you make it through it and you get a little stronger, like mentally, like just mental toughness on the other side of it. Like, hey, yeah, that sucked, but I did it. I survived it. And, you know, now I know that I can do hard things, right? Which I think is important for kids, you know. And obviously, if you guys know us, you've listened to episodes, right? We don't have grown kids. We, you know, we have young kids. And so we're by no means successful at this, but it's things that we're actively thinking about and kind of working through. And, you know, I know we talk about these kinds of things offline, and so thought it would be helpful or interesting maybe to talk about them online. But yeah, I think those hard scenarios, which inside are, I mean, I guess other than this pandemic, right, this will certainly be formative for kids, right? There's things that they've gotten used to. This may be the first time that they've kind of gone through something hard, and you know, right, we'll get through the other side, and it'll be a thing that someday we look back on and go, yeah, that sucked, but we made it through it, and we're better people for it. But I think aside from this, right, the outdoors is a good way to expose your kids to that. Even just walking some, you know, walking far distance, right? Like, you're outside, you're doing something, right? And so me as dad, I'm carrying the supplies or whatever, you know, and so she gets tired and it's like, can you carry me? And it's like, No, I can't. I just, my arms are already full. You're going to have to walk, you know, and then it sucks, but we grind it out. And then, you know, one, it wears her out, which is, you know, good for me. But,
right,
you know, even something as small as that, right, is just like, I would carry you if I could, but I just can't, right? And so you're going to have to walk, and they make it, and whether they realize it or not, right, because she's four, right? But I think those type of things are like, you know, subconsciously is like, oh, I did it. I made it. I survived.
Right. And so, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to even think back to when we were kids, you know, your toes are freezing or whatever, doing whatever it was, you know, splitting firewood or doing whatever we were doing outside, shoveling snow, whatever dad had us doing. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know that, like you said, I don't know that I ever noticed it in the moment or even shortly after, but looking back, it's easy for me to see, you know, like that taught us perseverance and some mental strength of, you're not really that cold.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just push through, finish this up. You know, I mean, we were never in a point where we were getting frostbite. Our parents were not negligent by any means.
Yeah, no.
You know, we just thought we were cold. And we probably were, but it, you know, like you said, it teaches you a little bit of that perseverance or determination to complete a task and those kind of things, which, and you can get that in a lot of places, but the outdoors is a great place where I think a lot of generations have learned those life skills.
Yeah. And I think, so to kind of talk about some of the things that you and I are doing, the one thing that I try to do, and I have to keep reminding myself of this, because it's often very much easier to just do it myself. Like, oh, I'm going to run out and check cameras, or I'm going to, I'm going to run out and do whatever, and it'll be faster and it'll be done if I just do it myself. But
right.
I try to remind myself, like, ask her if she wants to go. And if she does, right, we know it's going to take longer, but it just through those like continuous exposures, I think you just, you eventually, you just learn things while you're out there, right? You're exposed to things that you couldn't have planned or set up, if you will, right? You find something, you see something, something happens. And
right. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know any, maybe I'm sure there is, I shouldn't say I don't know any, but personally, I don't know any young kid or person even really that doesn't enjoy seeing wildlife.
Yeah.
You know, zoos are zoos for a reason. People like to see that stuff. They like to see animals. They like to see, nature preserves. If you go out west, it's like, I mean, that's big business, driving through the national parks and seeing the animals. And but as we've said before, not only, our little motto of you can't kill them from the couch, you can't see them from the couch.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you said, you go out and check a trail camera, and if you're quiet enough and you practice being quiet, walking quiet, you can very easily walk right up on a deer, and then you get to watch a deer run away, and that's awesome. That's cool. Yeah. Everybody likes that. everybody, I guess, except the person trying to shoot the deer doesn't like it running away, but you know what I mean? That's cool to see. I don't know any kid, or especially young kid, who's like, I don't like to see animals. I mean? Like you said, you're not gonna get that opportunity unless you take them out there.
I think kids, like you said, have a natural like excitement or interest in the outside, the outdoors, right? And I think it's sort of our job not to squash that, right?
Right.
So if they're like, Ella loves dandelions, picking dandelions when they go to seed, she loves blowing the dandelion fluff, and so if every time she brings me a dandelion, I'm like, yeah, and I sort of poo-poo it, then that sort of squashes her excitement around that. And so I try to be like, oh yeah, you got to found another one, and our yard's full of them. And when we went to the cabin this past weekend or 2 weeks, I forget already if it was last weekend or 2 weekends ago, but she spent hours just picking dandelions out of the yard down there and either throwing them in the creek and watching them float down the creek, or throwing them in the campfire. And
right,
but it's just her way of interacting with the outside. And so anything she finds or seems interested in, I do my best to show excitement. And if there's something that I know about that particular thing, or if we find a bone or we find a skull or something, it's like, oh yeah, that looks like it's a deer skull, or it's a whatever,
right?
And I try to point out little things just to encourage that excitement,
right? And I think when we originally came up that we were going to talk about this, the thing that kept coming to my mind kind of goes along with what you said, is like to build or kindle that fire that I think is naturally there in everyone, especially as children. I mean, it might dull out as we age just from lack of exposure, but it's sharing the passion. If you truly are passionate about it and enjoy it, there's a really good chance your kids are going to be passionate about it and enjoy it. Just because, this won't be the first time listeners hear this, but like, your kids want to be like you. That's, that's one of the biggest pressures as a parent. Like, your kids idol you, envy you, they want to be like you. So that's good or bad. I mean, if you're not a good role model, then I guess that's bad. But our right. job or task as parents is to be good role models for our children. So if that's something you really enjoy, you know, I know that's where Lily gets a lot of her passion for the outdoors, is because I'm passionate about it. And she wants to be with me and be like me and do things that I do. So, you know, she wants to go hunting. She wants to, because that's what I like to do.
Right.
So it's just, I think you have to be genuinely excited and passionate about things. Like you said, even if it kind of seems dumb to you now, like, you know, with dandelions or whatever, it's like, oh yeah, those are nothing but a weed that I wish wasn't in my yard.
Right.
You know what I mean? And by you blowing those, you're just spreading them everywhere.
But right.
That's not the attitude you want to exhibit to your child who is, you know, loving doing that. It's
right.
Okay, we need to pause briefly to talk about our sponsor, Monster Whitetail Grub. So Monster Whitetail Grub is a deer feed company. That's their, like, the name of their signature feed, right? Their Monster Whitetail Grub feed. It's a high protein feed. It's more of like a coarse feed, so the deer eat it slower. And the other cool thing about it is it's got mineral mixed right into it. So mineral is great to have out this time of year. If you want just straight mineral, they've also got that. So you can get straight mineral, their signature Monster Whitetail Grub feed, and then you can also get flavored corn. So lots of options with Monster Whitetail Grub. Check them out. You can go to ohiohuntsman.com/sponsors, and you'll find a link there to get in touch with them and figure out how to get some of their stuff. And with that, we're going to jump back into the conversation.
So the other thing I wanted to kind of touch on this one is, like, some fails and some wins that we've had, you know, in the outdoors. And so I've got what I'm considering a win, right? We were just at home, and we were outside doing something. Oh, you know, it's spring. We're getting a lot of rain. My sump pump is running a lot. And since we've moved into this house, the discharge pipe, you know, it just discharges out in the, like, out away from the house in the backyard. And over the couple years or whatever, the grass and stuff has grown up around it. Like, the previous owner had some rocks around it so that, you know, you could see it and not run it over with the mower or whatever. But the end of the pipe had gotten covered up, grown over. I couldn't find it. And so we were out there tooling around trying to dig out the end of this discharge pipe for the sump pump. And, you know, we got our hands muddy, and I could hear, because we had just had some rain, you know, and whatnot. And I could hear, we've got a little, like, drain, you know, I hesitate to call it a creek, because in the summertime it dries up completely. It's just like a little drainage swale in the back that, you know, there's a farm field behind us that drains off, you know, kind of down toward our yard. Our yard then slopes toward this little drainage thing that's, you know, almost along the back property line. And I could hear the water running back there because it had just rained. And so there was a good amount of water running. I said, oh, let's go back here and let's rinse this mud off of our hands. And so, you know, this was one of those, like, okay, we rinsed our hands off, but, you know, there's this water flowing back here. And we both had our rubber boots on. And so, you know, I kind of stepped down in the water, and she thought, oh, that's, you know, how can I come down, you know? And so I let her down, and I'm talking about, like, pay attention as you're walking around, because, you know, if you step in a deep hole, it's going to go over your boots. And it was just like an impromptu, not planned, but, like I said, just something that happened because we were outside. We ended up playing in this creek or drainage swale or whatever for probably a half hour, until Amanda called me, and she, because the, you know, the water was running back there. She apparently had tried to call us out the back door, and we just couldn't hear. She called me on the phone, said, "Where are you guys? I got dinner ready," you know. And
right.
We waited around in there, and, you know, went across the deep spots, and some spots I had to carry her, and like it was just good fun. We're just hanging out back there, finding rocks and just messing around in the water, and it was just, she had fun, I had fun. It wasn't planned, it just sort of happened.
Right.
So those are the things that like I try to, because I had other stuff to do, right? Like in the yard and whatnot, but it was like, we're having fun. This is going to be fun. Let's do this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've had a couple similar, I mean, not like playing on in a drainage swale necessarily, but similar things where Lindsay's had to call me when I take, the kids to go check trail cameras or something. And I always get into something with them, when in Rome.
Yeah.
So we're out checking trail cameras, and next thing I know, we're following deer trails and looking at, finding deer poop and deer rubs. And then I'm getting a phone call like, I thought you said you'd be right back. And I'm like, about that. Yeah. But, in terms of a fail, I had one of those too. It was just this spring. We were out at the farm, at Grandpa's farm, and I hopped on the gator and had the kids, and it was cool. It was cold, but I had them long sleeves, gloves, whatever. And we're going to go drive the fields and see if we can find some shed antlers. So I wasn't, I was just staying to the edges of the fields and zipping around. And I got about as far away from the house as possible with both kids. And it just opened up, downpoured. I'm talking, we got soaked and frozen. It was so cold once we were wet. And I have both kids. And it's like that next level, like they're so cold that they're like not moving. I'm like worried about them.
Yeah.
And we're driving on the gator. I'm trying to go as fast as I can, but that just causes more wind and makes us colder. It was, we all turned out okay, and they're not scarred for life from it. At least I don't think, but it was a complete failure. I had every good intention, and it just, the weather changed its mind, and we got soaked and wet, and then we didn't have any clothes, and I'm bringing them home. Luckily, we got home back to Grandma's house, and they're running around in their underwear while Grandma's putting their clothes in the dryer. it was all good and fun, I guess. But it was a disaster, not what I had intended at all.
Yeah.
But you'll have that, I guess.
Yeah. We had, maybe not to that level, but we had a little bit of a fail when we went down to the cabin, right? Because I thought, we're down here. Saturday was a nice day. Let's go for a hike. And we're going to go for a hike. I figured let's go up and around. Because I don't know. Something in my brain, like, I don't want to just go up somewhere and then come back the same way we came. Like, it's just, like, I would rather go on a route that, ultimately I end up back in the same place. But I don't want to just walk back the same way I came in, and so we're going to walk up and around this first hollow here, and it's a fairly easy walk, and it'll be all good. Well, what I guess failed to realize is how far it actually is for 4-year-old legs,
Yeah, I think that's something that because we've always done it, I don't think we realize, or really, it's not just us, but like how much walking we really do down there.
Yeah.
How far for us, it's like, it's just right up there and around this hollow, and you come back and you're right down the road. It's not far at all.
Right.
But when you're actually like, as the crow flies, it's not far.
Right.
But to actually walk the ground back around the hollow, it's a hike.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we get basically to the top, because we're starting kind of in the bottom, right? We're gonna hike up the right side of this hollow up onto the ridge, and then once you get up top, it's pretty much flat walking. We're gonna walk around the back. So we basically get the hard part of the hike done, right? There's some greenbrier in there we had to get through, which if you've ever walked in the woods, Jake and I like to joke about this, you know, like everything is at face height for, you know, kids, 4 or 5 year old, you know,
right. Right.
Everything wants to poke him in the eye, scratch him on the cheek. You know, it's like stuff that you just kind of push through is like, you know, a real challenge for them. So we get through all that. We get up to the top. You know, we're almost to the back and she's like shutting down. Right. Like her, she just, you can tell she's spent. Right. And so right. It's like, well, we're already back here. So I put her on my back and we start, you know, kind of coming around the back of this hollow and we're going to come back out. And she even got to the point to where like, she's like, her arms are too tired to hang on. Right. So I'm like leaning forward so she can basically lay on my back.
Right.
Which is uncomfortable for me, but you know, it's okay. But then you get into areas where you got to like get around some brush and duck under some stuff. And like, now you got to hang on again. And she's like sagging way down and leaning way back, which now instead of carrying her on my back, I'm basically supporting all the weight with my arms. And it's like, oh, my arms are killing me, you know? And so it kind of turned into a little bit of a suffer fest for everybody.
Right. Right. And my experience with that too is you duck under something and you got to, until they know, they don't know to duck under it too or move their head.
Yeah.
I remember having to have a talk with Lily when I was carrying her on my back. I'm like, you need to keep your head behind my head.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to get hit in the face. So if you're right behind my head, you won't get hit.
Yeah.
Because it's like, she wants to peek out and see where we're going. I'm yeah. like, no, you're going to get smacked in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought we were going to have a meltdown because like way at the beginning of this hike, we found a turkey feather. Cool. Found a turkey feather. She's got herself a turkey feather, you know, and she right. was carrying it most of the way. And then she was getting tired and she wanted, or no, I put her on my back. And so she's got this feather in her hand with her arms wrapped around my neck. So this feather's like in
tickling
my ear,
in,
in my face. Like, it's like, okay, we can't do this. Like, I can't. Right. I can't. So Amanda takes the feather and she sticks it in her back pocket. And we're, you know, because she's got our water bottles. We all brought water bottles. She's mm-hmm. carrying 3 water bottles. She can't really carry a feather also. Hindsight, I should have brought a backpack. We could have put all yeah. that stuff in there and it would have, you know, whatever. But so we get almost to the end, right? We can see the end of the woods. Like, we're coming out of the woods and Amanda realizes somewhere along the way this feather came out of her pocket. And I'm like, oh gosh, here we go, right? And thankfully she's like, you know, because I'm waiting for the tears, right? Ella goes, it's fine, mommy. It's fine. Let's just keep going. So I think she was like,
tired.
Yeah, like let's just get out of here. Can we just right. go back? So I was thankful that because I thought for sure, right? Here comes the level 3 meltdown, like
right.
So, but yeah, but you know, again, I think even though those, like we said earlier, those times suck. I think there is a little bit of that where, you know, I don't know. I try to, like, Jeff seems to remember things like, oh yeah, when I was 2.5, I remember, you know.
Yeah.
He's not here to vouch for that. But, you know, there's times where it was like, oh yeah, I remember that. I was like, how, dude? You had to been, I remember it, you know. And it's like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know if he does or doesn't. Is, but...
Yeah, what I'm getting at is I don't know if they're going to remember these, you know, if Lily's going to remember like, oh yeah, Dad, you remember that time we were on the Gator and it rained and right. we were really cold, you know, but even if they don't like actually remember it, I think it just helps build character, right? Like, yep, we survived the cold rain. Yeah, we, right. You know, we survived the long, miserable hike. And, you know, it built some character. We made it. Now we know that, you know, getting a little wet and cold isn't going to kill us, or getting, right. You know, a little tired and slogging through the woods isn't going to kill us. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, you got to keep it fun. You got to keep it interesting, but there's anyone who really likes the outdoors. There's a little bit of pleasure in the pain, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a pretty standard thing for anyone who truly likes to spend time in the outdoors. I mean, you don't go camping. I mean, this is going to sound like camping isn't fun, and it is, but you don't go camping for the fun of it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't sleep on the ground in a tent when you have a house. You know what I mean? But it's because there's other things that you're getting out of that experience.
Right.
You know, nobody likes to sleep on the ground unless you're someone who likes to tent camp, but you don't necessarily probably like it because you like waking up with a stiff back.
Yeah.
You like it because you like to, whatever, hear the birds first thing in the morning, or actually see what darkness looks like if you're from the city. You know what I mean? It's just a lot to be experienced and learn from the outdoors that, like you said, it builds character, builds, you know, some perseverance characteristics and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
I think that's
it's just kind of cool to, you know, I mean, I don't know, not that we did a ton of it, but Dad talks about, like, they used to do what they called, like, survivor weekends, where they would get off school and go into the woods Friday night and not come back out of the woods till Sunday night.
Right.
You know, they would whatever, hunt, fish, camp, and maintain. Like, that's just kind of a cool trait to be able to do.
Yeah.
Know, to be able to start a fire and catch a fish to eat and cook it over the fire. And, you know, that's all more advanced than what you do with a 4-year-old, but it's important nonetheless, especially in times like this. You know, you never know what's going to happen in the world. And, you know, everybody's all up in arms over a meat shortage. Well, anyone who does any hunting probably doesn't have a meat shortage.
Right.
You know, or at least not nearly as much a one as someone who doesn't acquire their own natural game. But
yeah. Yeah, I think that's sort of a good summary. I think that, you know, good place to sort of wrap it up. Like I said, this was just sort of a our thoughts around what we're doing, or maybe more appropriately, like the things that we're trying to do, or you know, the things that we're considering as we're raising young kids and hopefully teaching them to enjoy the outdoors, or at the very least not squash their already existing love or interest or excitement for the outdoors, and include them in what it is we're doing outside, so that hopefully, you know, someday we can, or not someday, I guess, so that we can continue to do things outside. You know, you say, hey, you guys want to go camping? It's not like, it's like, yeah, that's, you know, that's fun. You're not having to drag them along for anything that's outside.
Right.
So, all right. Well, I think that's good. Good place to wrap it up. And let us know what you guys do. What do you guys enjoy doing outside with your kids, or, you know, what things have you maybe surprised you that your kids enjoy doing that you didn't think of? Or, you know, I'd also be very interested to hear some of your fail and win stories. Like, so send us a message, you know, tag us in a post, or send us a message. And I like kind of sharing those kinds of stories. So with that, we'll sign off and talk to everybody next week.
So that's it for this week. Hopefully that was interesting, helpful, at least enjoyable. And as always, we thank you all. I want to thank you all for continuing to listen and share our episodes. That really means a lot to us. And if you haven't already, jump on over to either our Facebook page or Instagram page. We're Ohio Huntsman on Facebook, Ohio Huntsman _ podcast on Instagram, and send us a message. Say hey. We love seeing your pictures, your turkey pictures, your deer pictures, trail cam pictures, whatever you got. We like seeing it and interacting with you all. So with that, I'll let you all get back to your week, whatever it is you're working on, whatever's on the to-do list for today. And yeah, I guess that's it. Subscribe, share, and thank you. And we'll talk to y'all next week. Mm-hmm.